It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go, off and running for More In Monday, the 14th day of September 2020. We're just one day short of being halfway done with September, but more gravely, oh my God, the waning days of summer, they tick by all too quickly, and it will be autumn in less than 10 days. Oh dear. Time to start laying in the kerosene and the propane, I guess. Not that I'm complaining, because, you know, at least we don't... West Virginia's not, is neither on fire nor being battered by a hurricane. So, you know, we're ahead of the game in that regard. But, nonetheless, it is More In Monday on the 14th of September, 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That is the well-kept secret hiding place where we keep the Horn chat room, which you're mighty welcome to participate in if you'd like to. Just run on over to headon.live, click on chat room, and if you've never done it before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, jump right in. You'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Jimmy and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, has the good common sense not to fold space into the middle of a freaking wildfire. A decision well made, Sparky. A decision well made. So, by all means, feel free to jump in and... Well, I'm there, too. I type a little, I send a message or two once in a while, but quite frankly, I'm away from the chat room quite a bit because I got something like 10 to the 14th power tabs open because, Jesus Christ, what a weekend. But then they all are, aren't they? Yeah, they are. But before I get ahead of myself, we need to acknowledge the fact that every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. As a consequence of that, well, we have thanks to send out to our subscribers over the course of the weekend and into today. Let me scroll down here and work from the bottom to the top. There we go. Thank you to Paul, and thank you to Gary, up in New York. Thank you to Gary, who is not in New York, but is in rather in Oregon, Gary and Gaia. Thank you to Greg. Thank you, Greg, very kindly. Thank you to Andy. Hey, Bob, from the West Texas town. Mm-hmm. I know the lyric. Off in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Yep. Thank you to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you to Paul. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown, different Paul. Thanks very kindly to Jeremy for getting us started this evening. That means our evening's fundraising goal now stands at $195. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program and making it possible for this program to have existed as long as it does. Gosh, we are a month and 10 days away from our anniversary, which is amazing that this program has been at it that long. It's a testament to the dedication and determination and the good faith and goodwill of this little radio family community congregation. So, yes, if you'd like to help out, by the way, through the end of the month, there is a standby phone call coming in. I'll be right back. This might take a minute. Sorry about that. So there will be another long gap in the podcast file, but sometimes calls come through that I have to take. So that's where that is. Picking up where we left off, yeah, more in Monday, and no small number, imagine that, of Morans. So with that having been said, I got a pretty good idea of where we can start. But let's start, in proper form with all the fun stuff, like, this.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. Morons.
Hurry, 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 step right up, it's Moran Monday on the horn, here behind this thin, cybernetic veil of canvas, mere steps away from the Carnival Midway, where only recently you were vainly throwing ping-pong balls at goldfish bowls in the desperate hope that you would soon be bringing home a not-so-precious little baby iguana. We've got them all. Birthers, deathers, baggers, birchers, ninthers, deathers, tenthers, maggots, crumpanzees, libertarians, republicans, and everything in between and the great globe around at the Moran Monday tent. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Aunts and uncles, kitties and cousins, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. Well, wind the cat and put out the clock because, we've got a boatload of them for you. And remember, as far as the Moran Monday tent is concerned, admission to the Moran Monday tent will set you back a little less than a half a stick of chewing gum. Yeah, that's what a $10 a month horn subscriber is putting forward for each broadcast all of every month. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The biggest bargain in progressive liberal radio, and it's right here at the Horn's Moran Monday tent. A kind and gentle warning before entering the Moran Monday tent. Please, keep a close eye on children, small animals, even the iguana, and maybe hang on to any bracelets, rings, necklaces, purses, wallets, cufflinks, belts, belt buckles, bows on shoes, and anything else of any value up to and including European-style messenger bags, because, after all, the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, and you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. You will. You will. And there's no getting around it. We're filthy with them. And I guess there's nothing like a pandemic to bring out the Moran in white people. I was rewatching. Tracy and I were chatting at one point, and she asked me, "Did I get a video link?" She'd sent me, and then she reminded me what it was. And I said, "Oh, I saw that eons ago, and I watch it over and over again." The SNL skit, Black Jeopardy, that featured the Black Panther, and There's a line toward the end where you hear some Richard Pryor white folks' voices saying things like, "What? Only 2,200 square feet?" And Keenan, playing the host, says, "Well, that the sound of white folks shopping for real estate means that our party's over and time to get out of here." It's funny as hell. But true, too. So, with that in mind, white folks behaving badly. Let's start, shall we,
in, let's start down in Charleston, West Virginia. Where better? And not just anywhere in Charleston, West Virginia, but in the capital of Charleston, West Virginia, where a reporter for a local TV news outfit was on the scene as angry hillbillies had descended upon the Capitol to register their displeasure with Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice and his ongoing shutdown. Which, by the way, isn't actually a shutdown. There's no real shutdown here. I told Agnes the other day, other night, as I was bringing Ferg home, I told her, I'm convinced that before this whole pandemic, Dondemic is over, I swear I'm going to see a car in Fayette County, West Virginia, with Hawaii plates. I will not be shocked, because I think we've had every fucking thing else. I've seen California, I've seen Oregon, I've seen Colorado, I've seen Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, I've seen Connecticut, Maryland, Virginia, of course, Ohio, of course, Pennsylvania. God, you'd think that we'd been annexed by Pennsylvania, the number of Pennsylvania plates I see here. Ontario is well, I haven't. Usual tourist seasons, we are up to our eyeballs in Ontario plates, but no, the smart people are staying out of the United States of America. Just the same way that they don't want us in their country. But we haven't shut down. But a bunch of spoiled ass, rotten white folks who would rather kill people than see their precious lumpkins not out there a playing of the football and a cheerleadering. Well, they were in Charleston today and they were hot.
Hello, everyone. Again, this is Megan Bechera with Eyewitness News. I'm still here outside the Capitol. This is what the scene is looking like. Governor Justice had just gotten out of the mansion. He's going to get in his car and presumably going to drive up through here to the door of the Capitol.
Okay, when it's TV, so this is what the scene looks like. If you're doing radio, you have to describe. There's a big sidewalk that runs from the governor's mansion, where, by the way, he does not live. The law of the state of West Virginia says the governor shall live in the governor's mansion, but, well, we don't need no stinking laws when it's Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice who's governating over us. He lives down in Greenbrier County and commutes. It's a heck of a commute, but, you know, he's a billionaire. He can afford it. And so he was going to get... He can't make the walk. I mean, I'm not fat-shaming or anything. He can't make the walk. Or I should say, he can't make the waddle. Between the governor's mansion and the Capitol. I've walked it a million times, but he can't. He just can't. So they drive him in a great big old black SUV between the governor's mansion on the sidewalk and the state capitol of West Virginia, wherein they then offload him. I don't think you'll get to hear the beeping of the forklift, but they offload him, and then he goes in and governates and gives his daily press briefing. But today, there were throngs. And yes, a few of them were amazingly wearing masks, but each of them were in complete violation of the state order against gatherings of more than 25 people. But again, If Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice doesn't have to obey the law, then why the fuck should a bunch of angry maggots from other counties? Right. Back to the report.
Capitol, where he typically goes in for his press conference. That's what we're expecting to happen. So the crowd is parted ways a little bit here in preparation for him to drive. And he's on his way here. So I'm just going to stop talking and let you hear what's going on.
Okay. Crowd noise. Carrots and peas, peas and carrots, carrots and peas, peas and carrots, peas and carrots, carrots and peas. That's what you say on stage when you got to be making crowd noise. Everybody stands around, carrots and peas, peas and carrots, carrots and peas, peas and carrots, carrots and peas. Okay, but it's not going to be that long. Wait for long, because is he coming this way? Is Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor? Yes, there it is. There's the president, the gubernatorial SUV with some Capitol cops clearing the way. No pepper spray. No tasers. Oh, but the maggots are angry. Destroying the children!
Stop destroying again!
This one in the van. Get up here.
Beep, 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 beep.
Now, let me just say, that is what you call an angry mob.
Curiously, no one, like I said, was tasered or pepper sprayed or tear gassed or had knees put on their necks or shot seven times in the back or anything like that. Because, well, they're a well-meaning angry mob of ignorant white people. Can you imagine if sane people there's a pandemic, so we probably wouldn't, but can you imagine if there were demonstrations like this of people saying, shut it the fuck down, shut it the fuck down, we don't want to die, we don't want to die, we don't want, yeah. Stop making our kids destroy their meemaws and their paypals. Stop killing granny! No, that's not what that angry, ignorant mob was about. They gathered together in their hundreds and brought their poorly spelt posters, cause they're mad, cause there ain't no high school football. Everybody knows in West Virginia, you play football in September in the Huskies. And they're complaining because in counties that are orange or red, you can't play the football. And they're real pissed. And they've decided that there ain't no such thing as asymptomatic spread, kind of like the ignorant woman I ran across last week who said, you know, asymptomatic spread is a thing, and I got a laughing emoji back. And now, in no way, shape, form, or fashion, is there anything such as an asymptomatic spread. To his credit, even Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has never said that. But these stupid mask holes, these godforsaken COVIDiots, have decided that their by God tart of this here pandemic, and we got to get back to skew, and we got to play some football. We got to have cheerings in the classroom. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Let us play! Let us play!
And it's kind of a mix between let them play, that would be the pay rents, and let us play, and that would be the youngins. How, and, you know, when we get to the conversation radio part of the program, I would sincerely appreciate some input from y'all. How do you describe this? And I don't want us to go, I don't want us to go the usual and easy route of, well, that's just the fucking maggots. Because that doesn't help. What level of social and cultural failure, what sort of shredding of the social fabric do you have to get to this point? Because none of these people are having organic ideas that they didn't just come to this notion by themselves that there's no need not to be sitting in the stands, a larping and smollicking and grabulating and lollygagging and spewing and spraying and hooting and hollering and barking and grunting and moaning all over each other to watch some football. I mean, I think my beloved Mountaineers played Eastern Kentucky University this past weekend and mopped the floor with EKU. That's what I was told. I still don't know the score. Anyone familiar with this program knows that I love Mountaineer football and basketball. My alma mater. Harvard on the Mon. And my weekends in the past have risen or fallen based upon the fortunes of my beloved old golden blue. But I've made a promise to myself that I'm not going to follow them, and I'm not going to pay any attention to them, because I don't want anything to do with even remotely running the risk of having promoted the further spread of this goddamn disease in my poor, benighted, rather obviously ignorant state. I hope the hell this video doesn't go viral. Because it's just further damnation. Of the pathetic state of whatever passes for education in West Virginia. Let's see if there's any more special grunting going on.
Well, as you just saw, Governor Justice did pull all the way up to the Capitol. He did not stop to talk to the protesters. The protesters were screaming, chanting, "Let us play," at him. But he went ahead into the Capitol for his press conference. So just keep watching Eyewitness News for his press conference. And we'll have more on this tonight at 5 and 6. Thank you. Hello, everyone. And again, this is Megan Bashira.
Megan Bashira. I just wanted to make sure we got her name in there. It takes courage to stand in amongst a bunch of mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing goons as they bark and hoot about, "Let us play!" Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not alone. Note coming in from David in South Carolina, Stan. I know he feels about his cocks the way I feel about my ears. Probably need to figure out a better way to say that. Because, you know, saying the whole word Mountaineers is kind of difficult, or so you'd think. So sometimes we just refer to our beloved team as the Ears, just like they take the word game off of Cox. And so, yeah, Cox and Ears. It's just wrong. But David in South Carolina stands says, same here. I'm doing the same for my Gamecocks and the rest of NCAA football. Yep, taking a powder. I'm not going to have anything to do with promoting the further torment and misery and death that is stalking this country. No, 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 no. So I appreciate the camaraderie and the shoulder to shoulder there, David. I do. Lee in New York, subject line: West Virginia governor.
In no way, shape, form, or fashion is the governor not in complete adherence to the law.
Or so say his pettifoggers. But here's the problem. Who are the maggot? Those are all Trump voters. The intelligent people aren't there. The people who understand just how dangerous this pandemic is, well, they're not out there grunting and moaning and hooting and barking. Those are maggots. Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice is himself a maggot, and he considers the Donald J. Trump, the J stands for just let them die, his bosom buddy. And he's done what he could to spread the virus without going completely over the top and just blowing things open like illegitimate white supremacist adjacent Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, who only became governor with the active assistance of real live, no kidding, Nazis. But he's their guy. I mean, I can go down the road and there's a billboard that says it's got a picture of Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice and a picture of Nitwit Nero. And it almost looks like a phrase, Trump Justice. Her. So it's almost as compelling as those signs I see stapled to trees that say stump grinding. Her. Trump Justice. Well, who are these fuckers going to vote for? Because I guess they could go and vote for whoever the perpetual loser is that's running on the Mountain Party ticket. But that's a liberal, commie, pinko, fascist, Rosicrucian, Masonic, Freemason, learned elder of Zion, Illuminati, papist. It's Justice or Ben Salanga. You going to stay home? I tell you what. No, they can't stay home because then they'd be actually following the rules of the Rona. It's the rules of the Rona. Oh, for fuck's sake. And Steve in New York with a good observation. How is it I never hear any of those people chanting, let us learn, let us learn? Nope, sorry. That's a non-starter. And not just in West Virginia, most of your maggot states. Lee in New York City. COVIDiots want school. Didn't help them the first time through. Maybe they'll come out with some knowledge this time. Well, sadly, Lee, what they're going to come out, the knowledge they're going to come out with is the knowledge that it really isn't the same as the flu. And probably the saddest thing out of all the video that I saw today, that's the only clip I got. And you're probably grateful for that. But the saddest thing was a kid, maybe 9, 10, 11 years old, little boy. And they stuck a camera in his face, and of course he was real excited because he's going to be on the TV. And he looked earnestly into the camera and said,
"Well, it's no worse than the flu."
Again, that 11-year-old kid didn't come up with that by himself. That 11-year-old kid has been subject to intellectual child abuse. And that is how that kid came to say, "Well, it's no worse than the flu." Is this because they're all just sitting around watching Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and putting on their sheets and pillowcases for a watch party of Tucker Carlson? Or are they all just sitting around watching Jeanine Pirro get loaded every night? Or has the good pastor gotten them to tune over to Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground? I'm kind of flummoxed. But God damn it, there they are, and they are plague rats, one and all. And how do you try to live and stay safe and stay uninfected when these are the people who are hooting and grunting around Wally World and Kroger and Food Lion? And I don't know if they go to Aldi or not. Maybe that's what I need to do, start doing my shopping at Aldi. Oh, I heard Aldi has some good sugar-free alternative candy bars. My buddy B-Rez was telling me that earlier. I need to check that out next time I'm in Beckley. Unpaid product placement for Aldi. "You really want to know, Bob," says Megan, "this whole godforsaken bullshit thing for the last 4 years has been people seeing their way of life fading away, and by that I mean the white supremacist crap this country can't get rid of, and so have constructed an entire story to not only defend it, but to keep it going. From electing COVID Caligula to their handling of this virus, that's what all this is. I take it as a species unable to let go of their beliefs in order to change and evolve." And what did Darwin say about a species unable to change in order to evolve? They're literally putting themselves at risk for death because they can't wrap their heads around the fact that we can't keep doing what we've been doing because of this thing. Notice also, the same theory applies to climate change. Problem is, they seem not to care about taking the rest of us down with them because they choose to act like stubborn assholes. So, Latin scholars out there, you know, our Latin motto here in West Virginia is Montanis Semper Liberi. Mountaineers are always free. Well, I'm ready for an addition. Montani semper liberi stultum esse. I think. Mountaineers are always free to be stupid. Now, I know, as rational people, you look at this same shit that's happening in your state, and you go, "Oh, fuck me." Whether it's Texas or South Carolina, Stan, or Alabama. And you even look at the stupids in your own states. If you're in a decent, normal state. God, poor Oregon. Poor California. But if you're a West Virginia or a Mississippi or an Arkansas, it hurts extra bad because
it confirms all the stereotypical jokes that have been made about us for so long. Just so we won't feel so alone, Robert in isolation in Oz says they're here in New South Wales. The lovely state of Victoria here in Australia almost had the virus under control. Then stupid people did what stupid people do, got together for some fun, and it was hit with a massive second wave 2 weeks later. So the premier of the state had to put it into lockdown, and a pretty severe lockdown at that. Over the weekend, we had about 100 demonstrators popping up in various spots in Melbourne, screaming, "Freedom! Freedom!" We even had one claiming that Jesus is coming back. Thank you for your tolerance of my terrible Australian accent, Robert. I can't resist it, especially when it's Morans. Jesus is coming back. The police went in pretty forcibly, Robert continues, when the protesters decided to invade a local open-air food market, which was trading under strict conditions of social distancing. A man who punched a police officer was arrested for assaulting police, while the other 14 people were apprehended for breaching directions of the chief health officer. A further 150 people were issued infringement notices. And we also had about 100 of them protesting in New South Wales. It sounds like an online group organizing all this nonsense. I agree, Tovarich. They started with a Freedom Day demo in Bryan Bay last week, located near the Queensland-New South Wales border. About 100 people turned up, which ended in arrests and fines. Which reminds me of something. Trying to remember. I thought it was... No, not there. I actually had audio. I thought it was our buddy Steve who sent it to me. But maybe it wasn't. Of a woman in Oz being arrested, explaining to the police officer that she did not consent, or didn't consent to be arrested. Well, good for you. Let's put the cuffs on. Wait, you're putting the cuffs on? Yes, we're putting the cuffs on. Why are you putting the cuffs on? Because you're under arrest. Robert in Australia adds, I did wedding videos for a time before it wasn't worth doing anymore. You'd set up a nice shot when someone would step right in front of you. Excuse me, could you step aside for me, please? You can't tell me what to do, was more often than not the response. And I think that's where the protesters come from. The you can't tell me what to do brigade. Probably so, Robert. But they are being weaponized. There are greater forces than their simple ignorance at work here. Oh, and by the way, the Lieutenant Governor of South Carolina, Stan, Pamela Yvette, has tested positive for the Rona. Yeah, don't expect her to quarantine or anything, you know, liberal or pinko commie like that. Yeah. She got a positive test result 1 week after an appearance with Governor Henry McGovernor. Mm-hmm. Said she didn't feel so good this past Thursday morning. So she started self-quarantine. Sure she did. And she was tested on Friday and got her results on Saturday. Well, they can turn around some results pretty darn quick there in South Carolina, Stan, if you're the lieutenant governor. That's, yeah. So she tweeted, and she said,
like so many others across the world, I have contracted the COVID-19 virus. I began feeling unwell on Thursday morning and immediately began to self-quarantine. I was tested on Friday and got the positive result back on Saturday. I'm fortunate to have the best health care that the state of South Carolina can offer. No, she didn't say that. I'm fortunate to have had only mild symptoms, and I'm already feeling much better. David has taken great care of me. Well, David, that's nice of you. As careful as I've been, maybe that's a different David. As careful as I've been, this really does show how easily the virus is spread. Please continue to be diligent in keeping yourselves and your loved ones safe. But don't expect state government to do anything to make it less likely for the disease to spread because, well, feed them. MAGA, y'all. I added that part. If you're showing any symptoms at all, the best thing to do is get tested right away. If, you know, you can afford one or something. I can afford one. There are testing sites readily available all across the state. Learn more here. And then, in case you're wondering how Pamela Yvette done got the Roner, well, there's this tweet from September 6th, Labor Day. They went down to Darlington. My husband David and I had a great time this past weekend at the Cookout Southern 500. Wait, did Bojangles bail on the sponsorship and now it's the Cookout? Oh, no, not Cookout. That's the burger joint where you get a free Bible verse with every burger. Or fries. Or pop. Or milkshake. Or pie. Or hot dog. Or corn dog bite. Or chicken sandwich. Or onion rings. Or ice cream cone. Yep, Bible verses on all of it. Thank you to Too Tough to Tame for hosting this event safely. We know how important it is for our state and fans. We look forward to getting back to normal next year on the track. Hashtag Too Tough to Tame. Well, turns out they didn't host it quite so safely after all. Because, again, South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Pamela Yvette done got the Rona. Of course, the funny thing is, because we know about asymptomatic spread, well, golly gee, you gotta take into consideration that she was spewing virus particles before she felt bad on Thursday. And, of course, this Thursday last was, wait a minute, the 10th. So she was LARPing and smollicking and grabulating and lollygagging and spewing and hooting and grunting at the racetrack on Sunday the 6th of September. And so she was spewing virus particles on the 6th and the 7th. Well, okay, the 7th. And she was spewing them on the 8th. And she was spewing them on the 9th. Then she felt sick on the 10th and got tested and found out on the 11th that she had the Rona. And that's when she started her 14-day quarantine, which will end on the 25th. But on the 10th, the 9th, the 8th, and the 7th, she was spraying down anybody that came in contact with her with virus particles. Mm-hmm. And that's why contact tracing matters. Not that they're going to do any contact tracing there in, South Carolina, Stan. Oh, hell no, of course not. Because, you know, that would give Donald Trump a sad, you see. Of course it would. But I don't want to create the impression that all the stupidity is strictly in Oh, places like West Virginia or South Carolina, Stan. No. Thanks to Dave number 11, we know that the limitations are not nearly so narrow. No, they're not. Oh, by the way, earlier Billable Rick said, Bob, stop telling us you don't know the score of the WVU game this Saturday. I haven't mentioned it again, but I don't. I wouldn't even know that they'd played or won were it not for the fact that my buddy Bo told me, but he didn't tell me the score. Oh, let's see here. Oh, and Jeremy up in Vermont lets us know. This past Friday night, it was 40 here. Friday into Saturday, Bob. Leaves are starting to get color. Oh. It's just sad. You might want to think about getting your flu shot. Yes, indeed. Jeremy also added, Spain and Italy, I'm pretty sure I heard on BBC News this morning that parts of Spain and Italy have gone back into lockdown due to a resurgence of COVID. Over the weekend, Israel went back into lockdown. And I can't help wondering if, the hardcores and hard cases and ultra-conservatives, what have you, are going to be as asshole-ish in Israel as they were in Brooklyn. Don't know. And, of course, I had a note, they usually come earlier in the program, but I'm sorry, there was just so much stuff, and then the call came in and yada yada. Bob! One of the best programs I ever watched consistently in recent years on television was NBC's To Catch a Predator. The episodes were so popular that MSNBC would air the rebroadcast of the shows every Sunday night, and they did so for about 7 years after the original episode in 2005. The premise of the show was simple. Law enforcement would set up a sting house, and they would then invite via online chat rooms unsuspecting sexual deviants to have a rendezvous with an underage teenager at the sting house, just like the Moran maggots do at a Trump rally, as these deviant dumbshits show up in hopes of meeting an adolescent. Now, at the Trump rallies, the adolescent is Donald, of course, but at the sting house, the underage individual is usually a 13-year-old female. I'm really surprised they didn't catch Donald at one of those sting houses. Well, no. Joey, they didn't need to. He didn't need that because he had Jeffrey Epstein. And he had his lawyer's 15-year-old daughter to ogle and think filthy things about. There were about 7 venues for these sting houses, California, Florida, and ironically, Steve from New York mentioned last week that he had a relative from Greenville, Ohio, as yes, there was actually a sting house in good old Greenville, Ohio. I used to love the way these predators would try to talk their way out of the trap when Chris Hansen questioned them. The alibi that I always liked was when the potential predator would claim that somebody else was on his computer and was chatting up the decoy. The next obvious question was then, well, if somebody else was on your computer, how come you're here and not the person playing on your computer? And that's the quintessential question that I have for the maggots on this Moran Monday. Why are you here attending an event when you have a predator president messing around on the keyboard or the controls of your life? Last week, a male maggot in Michigan was questioned by a reporter as to why he was at a rally in Freeland after Trump openly admitted on a recording during the interview that he fully realized how dangerous the virus was, but decided not to take precautionary steps to avoid a mass panic, but rather just to refer to the virus as a hoax. The moron maggot simply replied, well, he's entitled to his opinion, but I disagree. The reporter should have shot back and said, this president's handling the pandemic will be a defining issue of his presidency, and you, sir, don't agree. Then why are you here tonight? The maggot might then answer,
Gee, I think somebody else has been playing with the computer in my brain because I'm obviously too much of a moron to think for myself.
Yeah, what's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says they should have a presidential predator sting house where they can catch all the president's men before they pervert and roil our democracy. You're so right, Giraffe. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the 14th day of September, 2020, with Giraffe on Predator Patrol. And Giraffe has that good aerial view. Oh, thank you, Lou. Lou keeping up with some stuff while I'm dealing with the morons. Michael Bloomberg announced he's going to spend $100 million to support Biden in Florida. What? You got an extra zero there, Lou? Perhaps he should pay off the debts of Florida felons to allow them to vote? Well, maybe that's part of the spending. Because that's the thing. It's been upheld that while the right to vote was returned to felons, they have to pay off all their fines before they can ever get to vote. Which means they'll probably never vote. Back to the chanting and hooting and grunting maggots in Charleston. Jimmy pointing out, no chance of let us live. And casting back to those innocent days of early spring, Elbert in Rhode Island reminds us, hey, Bob, remember those people who wanted to mow their snow-covered yards?
We gotta mow our snow. Freedom. Gretchen Whitmer's Hitler.
All right. The protests in Oz, Brother Deacon Asa says, they absolutely are organized online. We had a pack of them shits demonstrating and ranting like fucking lunatics out here in Vancouver. I'd be curious if any of them in Oz had signs saying, stop defacing humanity, because I think those clever one-liners come straight from the headquarters. Stop defacing humanity? Man, that sounds like it comes out of a basement somewhere in St. Petersburg. Let's see if it sounds better. Stop defacing humanity. Yep. Sounds right. Normal? Back to normal by next year. laughing my fucking ass off, says Jeremy in Vermont. Maybe as late as 2021, Dr. Fauci warned late last week. Yeah. Steve in New York says, I'm really pissed. When are we going to hold President Biden accountable for his COVID response? Sharing with me a tweet from Ronna Romney McDaniel. Joe Biden can't run from his disastrous record responding to the coronavirus. The truth hurts, Joe. President Biden. Yeah. Flavio says, they don't give a flying fuck about their fellow human beings, Bob. And sends along a story from Germany. American. You know, when you see Americans getting in trouble in overseas, it's kind of the same feeling we get in West Virginia or Mississippi or Arkansas. Woman, American accused of ignoring COVID-19 quarantine to go on Bavaria bar crawl. Woman who works in U.S. Army hotel was told to quarantine after showing symptoms. An American woman has been accused of spreading coronavirus around a Bavarian town by allegedly drinking in pubs and bars, despite being told to quarantine after showing coronavirus symptoms. The woman, who works at a hotel resort for U.S. forces stationed in Germany and has not been identified, returned from a holiday in Greece at the end of August. According to local authorities in the town of Garmisch-Partenkirchen, she was tested on 8th September after displaying COVID-19 symptoms. They say she ignored instructions to quarantine until her results were available and then went out that evening. The next morning, she received a positive test. And at least 22 citizens. Now, see, maybe Germany has a little stronger law, because I keep saying these people are fucking bioterrorists, and I only say that because they are. Maybe Germany can do something about her. At least 22 U.S. citizens based at the hotel have become infected in the hotel itself, which hosted a conference last week on how to prevent the virus spreading in the U.S. Army, has been closed for 2 weeks. District Councilor Anton Speer He's not responsible for his last name. It's not like they canceled out all the Nazi last names. District Counselor Anton Speer said, I'm angered about this young woman. Despite having symptoms and the order to quarantine, she plunged herself into the nightlife. She has infected at least 22 Amerikanischen. It will be a Herculean task to get hold of all the contact persons and inform them. Joachim Herrmann, the interior minister of Bavaria, is pissed. Oh, and she's 26 years old, this American woman. If it is confirmed that the woman, despite having clear coronavirus symptoms, refused to go into quarantine, she will face a hefty fine. Such recklessness should be clearly admonished. No, 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 Interior Minister Joachim Herrmann. She should be imprisoned. She should be charged as no less of a fucking terrorist than a member of the Bader-Meinhof gang. God damn it. That's the problem. These are intentional acts. And whether or not you believe the disease is real does not obviate the intentionality of the act. Hey, Todd, thanks a ton for jumping in alongside Jeremy. We're down now to 185 to keep up with fundraising for this next day to halfway done with the month. Thank you, Todd. Thanks a ton. A bunch, indeed. Let's see here. Glenn in San Diego says, unfortunately, Oregon and most likely California and Washington as well do not have immunity from the maggot flu. Some residents of Oregon are refusing to obey orders to evacuate on account of the climate fires bearing down on them. Some are convinced by right-wing memes on Facebook and such that the fires are being started by Antifa and BLM to force evacuations in order to loot their homes and towns. That's going to be a nice trick, looting a house while it's on fire. The problem is large enough that the governor's gotten involved trying to sway their thinking. Good luck with that. And in fact, there is further verification of that. In point of fact, a sheriff's deputy, or two, actually, were suspended in Oregon this week for spreading the dirty disinformation that, yes, Antifa was starting the fires. Oh, Jesus. And, of course, long before that even started, I predicted it would happen. Sometimes it gets a little too easy. Lee in New York says, subject line, logical arguing. Stop it, Spock. Jordan Klepper interviewed maggots. It went like this. Everyone should read the report. Did you read the report? No. But everyone should read it? Yes. There is no fact that a maggot's brain cannot deflect. It's just a soupy slurry of cognitive dissonance inside the maggot hive mind. And back to let him play. Our buddy Reverbo the Human Man says, as if the only hope for Biff's future, we don't have Biffs here, Reverbo. Come on. We got Cleti. That's the plural of Cletus. As if the only hope for Cletus' future is a football scholarship. God forbid he might apply himself to get an art or science ride to college. I guess I should add, with apologies to college football fans, of which I used to be one. Yeah, it's that used to be part. And it's sad. And that doesn't make me a fair weather fan. That makes me a fan who wants to live to see the next season when it'll be safe to play. Herman says, subject line, West Virginia football. The score of the football game, West Virginia 56, Eastern Kentucky 10. The next game is in Stillwater against Oklahoma State on September 26th. The next home game is against Baylor on October 3rd. Thank you very much. Sincerely, Herman. I won't be going, and I won't be tuning in, and I won't be paying attention, because that feels like somehow giving some level of moral approval to something that is dead wrong. I'll say it again to all the Trump supporters, Trump pansies and bioterrorists and the Republican Party, I'm putting you on notice. This disease is real. I don't care what you got for him says. Having survived a bout with this virus, I can tell you it is nothing to fuck with, period. And don't blame Jesus or try to hide behind his skirt. It's not his fault. You're so goddamn stupid. We got to put you all on an island. I'm thinking Juneau, Alaska. We had a reservation system for Native Americans. Why not Trump supporters? Signed, your buddy Dave. In the blind. Can't live with them. Can't send them to Mars. Robert in Australia. I saw that. Woman arrested, dragged from car. She refused to show the police her driver's license numerous times when asked. She was arrested at a checkpoint, which by law you must have with you when driving a car and to show it to police when they ask to do so. Yeah. It's a criminal offense to not show your license when asked. There's a myth that's been around forever that you don't have to have it with you as long as you present it within 24 hours. Wrong! And, of course, she is currently playing the victim card to the media. I would ask Robert a question. Is the media showing her anything resembling sympathy? Oh, there it is. Yeah, this is too... this is just too damn good not to share. And we'll get around to it in short order. Like I said, I'm sorry about the gap in the program, but, you know, we're well into the second hour of the program on our way to the halfway point of this Moran Monday, and I think you have to agree that we are Moran poor at this point. I got one more Moran here, and I'm going to roll with it just to give West Virginia some relief. Our buddy Dave, number 11, sent this along. This is not West Virginia, but Utah.
Now hundreds have gathered here in front of the Washington County Administration Building calling for the end of a mask mandate, saying they are tired of not living their normal lives.
No more masks! No more masks!
Not on the backs of my kids, or you're going to get more federal funding. That's how I feel about that.
A passionate call for action Friday morning in St. George. Several police officers on standby as many locals called concerns about coronavirus spikes overblown.
The flu kills more than coronavirus.
There it is.
Others calling the virus a hoax or stating that asymptomatic carriers simply do not exist and they cannot be forced to wear masks anywhere as citizens of the United States.
If we want to wear a mask, that's fine. We can take care of ourselves.
Some rally attendees say they shouldn't ever wear masks if they have any medical issues or mental health concerns or if they feel they simply can't breathe.
When George Floyd was saying, I can't breathe, and then he died, and now we're wearing a mask, and we say, I can't breathe, but we're being forced to wear it anyway.
But many believe in all cases, masks jeopardize kids' health. Parents are demanding they have the right to decide what to do with their children.
I'll tell you another reason I'd hate masks. Most child molesters love them.
School administrators responding that they don't understand why crowds are protesting them based on a mandate given by the governor.
They blocked off the front entrance to the school building, and we went out to ask them to move, and they attempted to storm the school building.
The school board is implementing the governor's recent order that face shields alone are not enough. And if a parent is adamant that their child cannot wear a mask or a shield, they must fill out a form, including a doctor's note, so the district can review it. In St. George, Katie Corrales, ABC 4 News.
Now, I shouldn't have to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. That school official there who said, we went out to ask him to clear the doorways, and they tried to rush the school. Let's say that happens in Compton. The LAPD would be standing there with a 500-gallon barrel of pepper spray to hose down anybody who got within 10 feet. But this is Lily White, Utah. And these are just good white people who are waiting for their chance to go and get their private planet somewhere in the general vicinity of Kolob. And so there was nobody standing there to hose them down with pepper spray. I mean, that just wouldn't be cricket, would it? Well, they're all standing there spewing and LARPing, so here in about 2 weeks, we're going to find out that in Washington County, Utah, there was a massive outbreak of the Rona.
I don't want to wear no mask. Child perverts, they're the ones that love the masks.
Oh, shut up, Granny. Flavio says, La Crosse, Wisconsin, 9-2 to 9-8, 162 new lab-confirmed cases, 5 hospitalized, 2 dead. This week's positive rate, 18.2%. Bars and restaurants are packed. What pandemic? This fall and winter, Flavio says, are going to be a rude awakening. Well, perhaps. I don't know if they're capable of awakening, Flavio. But there, this fall and winter, there will be plenty, plenty of tragedy to go around. Cynthia out in the Bay Area says, don't bother trying to send the Trumpansies to Mars. Send them to Venus. They don't believe in climate change anyway. Yeah. Was there some news story? I saw Ben Birch making reference of it, of potential life on Venus. Ooh. Let's avoid all venereal life forms, shall we? Billable Rick says, with the depleted football schedule this year due to the absence of the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the Big East, you're not going to follow WVU football? No, I'm not. This could be the year in which the Nears, no, it's not Nears, it's Ears. Leave that N off. It's E-E-R-S. Win their first national championship, albeit in a depleted COVID-19 field. No, that ain't going to happen because Alabama's still playing football and so's Clemson. Just saying. Ah, there it is, says Lee in New York. Mental illness is a reason not to wear a mask. Now I know why they're not wearing masks. They admit to being mentally ill. Well, they're just confirming what we already knew. Utah, Brother Deacon Asa says, I'm going to have to call bullshit on that old bag who yelled, child molesters love masks. When was the last time you saw Trump wear a mask? Ah, well played. Ron in Raleigh says, I have a suggestion. In Indonesia, anti-maskers are being made to bury COVID-19 victims. I think this would be a great idea. P.S. On September 11th, Toots Hibberts of Toots and the Maytals passed away at 77 years of age. Damn. Too much excess deaths in the art community. By art, I mean music, painting, sculpture, dance, literature. Odd, says Steve in New York, when I wear my mask, I don't feel any pressure on the back of my neck keeping me from breathing.
It's in the Constitution!
Yeah. Well, hey, let's bebop over now that we're at the halfway mark of the program and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd, what's happening, man?
How you doing?
God, you know, how you doing? I mean, I'm here. Yay.
I have to say, this morning was the best I've felt in months.
Good.
Months. Yeah. I didn't vomit. I didn't, you know. These pathogens are real. That's all I'm saying. These pathogens are real.
Yeah, they are.
But I want to start off grim. I want to ask you it's very simple.
Yeah.
But it's more of a, okay, this is like a code switch question. I don't want anyone to read into my sentiment. I just want to ask a question because it's fair, I think. What was the background of the officers who were so brutally shot? And they were brutally shot in Compton. But what was their background?
Help us out.
Well, I'm just saying, because the reason I bring it up is that when the police shoot people who are unarmed or armed or whatever, because let's not forget, when we talk about these police shootings, the majority of the time, we are talking about people who have allegedly have infractions against the law, but they're not capital offenses, and generally they're not a danger to the public. They just didn't follow a command that someone told them to do. So they say, well, I don't feel like tackling you, and I tased you, and I did this, and I did that, so I'm just going to shoot you.
Right. So, where's the toxicology report that shows that maybe they were had oodles of anabolic steroids in their body, something like that?
Yes. And complaints against them. Because, you see, most human beings, we follow a routine. You know, believe it or not, and it's ugly. When you, if you grasp what you do, it's like, damn, I'm pretty regular. You know, people, mammals especially, from rats to bats to humans, we follow routines. And so, you know.
Predictable even.
There you go with your big words. All your syllables. All right. Right. So I'm just saying, because that's the first thing they do is blame the victim. That's the first thing they do is blame who got shot. So this is and in general, this is what I would like to know. We're not going to see the end of a police union anytime soon, the FOP. However, we should demand that, you know, they be tested. Every time they discharge their weapon and they kill someone, they had to be tested and their background must be checked.
Period. Yeah, complete Facebook assay, all social media, look for any look for any aliases, look for any associations with white supremacist organizations. Exactly. Yeah.
Is that too far-fetched?
No, I don't think so at all, because there's damn good reason to do that kind of thing.
And remember, I believe we need police. We need good police.
Sure.
We don't need the folks that really don't need to be there.
No, and to be fair, we've got, and this is one of those things that's contained within the universe of defund the police. We need to let police be police and do police things. Not respond to mental health calls where they then put a bag over a man's head and suffocate him to death. We need an organization that is schooled in dealing with the psychology and reality of domestic violence.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, there are so many things that we call on, because I am not without sympathy. There are so many things that we call on police to do that I'll bet even the police would prefer not to do.
Yes.
And frankly, policing should... You remember... this is going to date me and probably make me out to be an asshole at the same time. You remember the cops in Sanford and Son?
Yeah. Hempy and...
Hoppy.
Hoppy.
Yeah, Hoppy and the brother. Well, Hoppy had about as much business in that neck of the woods as, you know, I do at a step sing. Can we agree?
Mm-hmm.
So, policing should look like its communities. I mean, up in Rochester, New York, I don't know if you noticed, but the chief of police was an African-American man, and he looked up and said, fuck it, I quit. Because y'all are about to hang this all on the black dude. And he walked away from being chief of police in Rochester. And that's one of those moments where it kind of challenges the notion that I've been putting forward that, you know, there's no such thing as a blue life. Oh, no. You get that uniform on, and you are of them. Black, white, Asian, indigenous. It matters not.
You're in the gang.
You're in the gang. You're in the mob.
But, wow, Rochester is a terrible example. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying terrible because they have a long, long history. I mean, that's one of the celebrated stops on the Underground Railroad. They,
right.
You know, Rochester is just replete with good stories. But, wow, I just can't. You just ran with it. See, and this is, you know, this defund the police, that's a terrible slogan. It's too complicated, but reallocate. They ought to be happy. But the problem I see is that they are, it seems like in general, you know, which you should never do, but in general, they seem upset because they're under more scrutiny. Like, they're upset because they can't, you know, beat heads in.
Exactly. So,
wouldn't you think, please?
No. I mean, I'm in complete agreement.
I mean, so I just that just you know, I think that we need to think about that maybe every time we see this. They always try to blame the war that he had drugs in his system or he had a rap sheet. So what? You know, you look at these cases, and that's what I'm saying. People maybe have lost sight of the bigger picture. Just because they are that quote-unquote suspect is not doing exactly what you tell them to do as a law enforcement officer, does that give you the right to take that life? They have all the apparatus behind them.
There is a gigantic universe that stands behind them. It's kind of like when you're having your cup of coffee in criminal law class in law school, your professor will probably use the phrase, it's almost a guarantee, the vast resources of the state.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, when you're talking about a criminal trial, you know, one person over here, vast resources of the state over there. And what's funny, though, is if you wind up on the vast resources of the state end of it,
mm-hmm.
they'll say, what vast resources? Have you seen our budget? Or at least it used to be like that in, you know, tiny little broke-ass counties. Now, there's a big difference if you're talking about the FBI or the DEA. But, you know, the larger thing is you were talking about the shooting of the cops in Compton. Trader Tot tweeted, Blue Lives Matter. And his daddy, Nitwit Nero, quote tweeted him. And immediately somebody pointed out, huh, how about that? You didn't tweet out a damn thing about the innocent people gunned down by Kyle Rittenhouse. Not a word. And then over the weekend, also in regard to this story coming out of L.A., he said that there needs to be a swift trial followed by immediate execution.
Whoa, what? Well, that's not a trial.
Right, you know, it's the old one-liner about we're going to give you a nice fair trial and then we're going to hang you.
Right.
And there's so much stuff, Todd, that evades our attention on this program because, you know, can't keep up. But I got one sitting here, been hanging on to it, and it would seem that this is the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Story comes out of the Philippines. It is the story of a member of the United States military. Hold on here. It's going to take me a minute. I have so many tabs. Getting closer. There it is. Yes. It's the story of Lance Corporal Joseph Scott Pemberton of the United States Marine Corps, who was tried and found guilty in the Philippines of strangling and drowning 26-year-old Jennifer Laud to death in an Olongapo hotel. That was back in December 2015. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a week ago, the Foreign Secretary of the Philippines, Teodoro Loxin Jr., tweeted, "To do justice, President Duterte has granted an absolute pardon to Pemberton." There was no question. He murdered the young woman. Cold blood.
Okay, how much did he pay? How much did he pay Duterte or was he his friend? It has to be one or two.
Duterte said that Pemberton should be allowed the good character presumption because he behaved himself behind bars. So I will release him. And the lawyer for Pemberton's family, or Laud's family, said the pardon was revolting, a mockery of our judicial and legal system. There's so much disrespect in the manner in which Jennifer was killed, reflective of the disrespect the U.S. has for the Philippines' democracy and sovereignty. He went on and said, "There are too many Filipino convicts already in their twilight years serving their sentences. Why pardon a foreigner, a U.S. soldier, who committed an atrocious crime?" But, well, Duterte is the kind of thug that Trump respects.
That's what I was about to say. That sounds Trumpian.
Exactly. And since we're talking about cops, too, how about, Ohio. A story from News 5 Cleveland. Charles Pierre Lewis had his funeral last week. He was 23 years old. Ohio State troopers engaged in a high-speed chase with him until he crashed and died. So, they had his funeral. 100 family members showed up, and I'm not making light of it, but, you know, God knows Tracy's talked about. White funerals and black funerals are very different affairs. Richard Pryor did it. In expert fashion. you know, I remember he said, you know, you go to a white funeral and you'll be, you'll hear a, and then it's over after the talking and her. He said, go to the black funeral. Jesus, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me. You heard the bit, remember? Well,
of course.
Yeah, because maybe there's more horror involved. Like being run to your death by the Ohio State Police. You know, civilized jurisdictions have banned high-speed chases. You know why?
Why?
In the 21st century? Because all too often, high-speed chases result in injury or death to innocent bystanders. One, and two, it's the 21st century. You might outrun a cop car, but you can't outrun a radio.
Well, that's what the fuck I was going to say.
And so they ran Charles Pierre Lewis to his death, whatever it is he had done, or not done. So the family got together, about 100 people, for his funeral. This is in Lorain, Ohio. I know for a fact that I'm sure our pal Joey knows about Lorain, Ohio.
You mean Lorain or Lorain? Is it northern Ohio or southern Ohio?
Yeah, it's northern Ohio. That's in the general greater Cleveland metro area.
That's Lorain. Then.
Yeah, that's Lorain.
That's one. Okay.
But you're right. If it had been southern Ohio, as Steve in New York might point out, it probably would be Lorain. But no, this is northern Ohio. And so they're trying to have their funeral when the local cops show up and declare that it's a riot. No shit. And this person's resisting arrest. They're being unruly. This is a riot. And his mama, Charles Pierre Lewis's mama, Tamika Cheers, said, just because you see a bunch of black children and family members and elders don't mean it's a problem. We were celebrating my son's journey through this life. Oh, Christ.
You know what? There's a common thread, a theme, to everything that we've been talking about almost since we started talking this evening. And that is that there are two sets of rules. And we have not pretty much deviated from that. It seems like, in the aggregate, you know, society, this society that we live in, are scaredy cats when it comes to a bunch of black people getting together. It's just, it makes people uncomfortable.
Well, that beats the hell out of me. Why? Well, it doesn't. No. Hold on, Todd. It doesn't beat the hell out of me. You know why it doesn't beat the hell out of me? Because it's been going on for 400 fucking years.
Well, that's the thing. And you answered that question because we talked about it. It's like they think that we're going to do to them. I'm sorry for that water running. They think society thinks that we are going to do to them what they have done to us. When in fact, we have always been part of this society. And, you know, if that were going to happen, it already happened during the slave revolt, which I would respond in this fashion. I would say, well, what the hell would you do? You know, would you want to be enslaved? I mean, so that doesn't even fucking count. You need to back the fuck up with that shit.
No shit.
But I mean, people tell me this shit. I hear all types of things. I'm telling you.
Oh, I know. I know where you are. I know where you are. No doubt. And it's like, you know, I worry about you. I worry about my friends and members of our community in Florida. I worry about David. I know where David is, and I imagine where David is based on what happened on September 6th. Probably going to be an outbreak. Probably going to be a hot spot there.
David is a good reporter.
Yeah, and he's being as careful as he can. But that's where, you know, the general area, mind you. I don't want to give anything away.
But
the general area where David is where they were LARPing and smollicking and lollygagging and all over each other down to the NASCAR.
Right, right. Well, we know, right, exactly. And that's an interesting area because I'm going to tell you something, man. Like, I have friends, you know, we go over there sometimes because it's not far from me at all. And, you know, people, it's a tourist thing. The people come from all over the country. That's a big, you know, the D place is, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, my God, they have a wonderful, there's a place you can go to eat in this hotel, and it's got great food. It's like, wow, it's like they have better food than we do over here, you know, because they deal with that type of clientele. You see Maseratis and Ferraris in the parking lot, you know, this is like, there's money. You know, not that money's everything, but there are folks with influence. But that's why I like the code switch. You know, Michelle, I think it's Michelle Martin, you know, she has a show or a podcast, and she started doing that kind of ad hoc a little while, you know, some time ago. But, you know, it's a simple question. And this is what I ask my white Southern brothers and sisters that I, you know, love and appreciate, and who, you know, who are okay with this administration. I say, well, if I really want to be snarky, I'll say, well, how many years did you live in New York? But I don't, you know, I often don't say that because that's just too deep. But I say, well, what did you know about this man? You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, the orange maniac. So what did you know about him before he ran for president? Well, I don't know. He's a businessman. I said, okay. And I don't really dig any deeper, but they didn't know shit about this motherfucker. So when you say, well, he's always been a racist, like, I was there. I lived in New York in the 80s. I know it's this motherfucker. It's not new to me. And, you know, it's quite interesting because listen to people who know who have been around those folks. He couldn't, this entity that we're talking about that I brought up, he couldn't pass a test. He couldn't pass a civil service test because they would have to go talk to his friends, his neighbors, and they would be like, oh, he's a deviant. Oh, he's, you know, he's a liar. He's cheap now, you know. And then he's the fucking president.
No shit. Yeah, I know. Oh, and just to update you, Brother Deacon Asa and Clarence there, your neighbor, both informed me there was a little bit more than met the eye in that Duterte pardon we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You kidding us, Bob, says Brother Deacon Asa? You completely buried the lead in that story. And as Clarence points out, the victim was transgender. That's why that disgusting pustule Duterte pardoned the killer.
As Clarence
says, Duterte is a homophobe, like Trump.
He is.
So what the hell? It's okay. What the hell? It's okay to kill a trans girl. You know.
And you know what's sad? I don't know, but when I see him, I don't know him, not been around him. I'm just saying when you look at him, I'm sorry, but he looks like he's got some issues, like maybe a little alcoholism going on. And you know, in Indonesia over there, they got, you know, their methamphetamine is just rampant. It's like everywhere. But, you know, that's the big thing over there. Is weapons.
Oh, that reminds me of something I saw on Facebook, a little humorous, something I saw on Facebook this weekend. Our pal Tony posted it. It was a picture of Slowpoke. You remember Slowpoke Rodriguez, the cousin of Speedy Gonzalez? And the meme said something like, "We were kids, so we never realized that Slowpoke Rodriguez was high as fuck."
And, is that what the deal was? Oh, I never thought about that.
And I think it was our pal Kate who pointed out. Well, yeah, so was Speedy Gonzalez. So was his cousin, but not the same drug. And I couldn't resist it, and it was a beautiful off-the-cuff moment.
That's hilarious.
And I wrote back and said, yeah, but they couldn't name him Cranky Gonzalez. He was too pleasant. I'm awarding myself a cowbell for Cranky Gonzalez.
I like that. You do. That's Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Now, you know, just because I hadn't mentioned it don't mean it ain't happening.
No, I know. Oh, I got to tell you what I did on the griddle today.
Wow.
I'm finding, you know, this thing really is versatile.
Mm-hmm.
I was up to the Wiggling Pig. I had to run up and had to run down to the settlements for some provisions.
To forage for vittles.
Yeah, foraging for vittles. Shooting at some food and up through the ground. Didn't come no bubbling crude. Just don't work that way, really. But, you know, in the Piggly Wiggly, there's a section of the meat case that's 5 for $20. Five items, $20. And if you're smart, you can make that work for you.
Hey, wait a minute. Why the fuck don't we have that? Wait a minute.
Wait. You don't got no 5 for $20 at your Wiggling Pig?
No, we just have a wall of fatback.
Well, see, I don't. We don't got no wall of fatback, so you know it all balances. But they're working on. They are working on getting me the black pepper and the red hot Kaneka. They're great people up there. He's working on finding me Nespresso capsules so I don't have to order them through the mail, because it's really frustrating when you get up in the morning and go to make your morning Nespresso and shit, I'm out of capsules. So then, you know, you're a week waiting around for, he's going to try to get me some capsules. And,
man, you got the hook up. Okay.
And he's also looking, using his, Piggly Wiggly Spidey powers to try to find me some more of that that Mayfield Creamery orange pineapple ice cream. I'm scared that it was a seasonal flavor and I won't see it again till next summer, and I find it highly upsetting. But
sounds good right now.
Oh, it is. It's literally the same recipe as Trowbridge's restaurant on North Court Street in Florence, Alabama. It's been open since 1917. They created that recipe, and another ice cream maker bogarted it, decades and decades and decades ago. But I've never seen it before outside, and so when I saw it over in Fayetteville, I was like, "Yeah, I'm bringing that home." And then I never saw it again. So, the guy at Piggly Wiggly is beating the bushes to see if he can get me some.
Mm-hmm.
So we got all that going on, but I didn't go in there intending to buy anything like this, but it just so happened that I was cruising the 5 for $20 thing. And like I said, there's a trick to it, because it's all meats and stuff that's, you know, by weight. And so what you got to do is you got whatever it is you want, you got to fish through it until you find the highest weight package.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the highest weight, and that way you get the best deal. But I noticed that they had some, you know, not in links, but just ground hot Italian sausage.
Oh, hell yeah! Give me all of that.
And something in me said, you know what you ain't had in a while? You ain't had a good pot of homemade biscotti sauce.
Hmm.
So I grabbed some hamburger, and I grabbed that Italian sausage, and got me an onion and a bell pepper and some mushrooms. And I came home, and I got my olive pitter out, and I got my jar of Henry's fermented garlic, olives, and started pitting those little bastards. And I chopped and I chopped up some Kalamatas. And so I and I used the griddle to fry up all the burger and the sausage. And I sauteed and I sauteed all the veggies on the thing, and put it all in a pot, and started adding my tomato sauce and my, my diced tomatoes with roasted garlic and all my seasonings. Only thing I didn't have, I didn't have a bottle of red wine handy. Because you know, you want a little red wine in your meat sauce.
You do. That's where Trader Joe's comes in, because you can get that. You can get a quart, you know, $7.50 for $3. Beer is $3. No, but
yeah, because I'm not drinking it, but just to have a little splat. But I didn't. I didn't have it. But I hit it with a whole bunch of the different Italian herbs and spices and stuff that one of our buddies sent along last year. And just simmered it in the pot on the griddle.
Oh, just had the pot flat on the griddle. I see it, versatile, right? See?
Yeah, I mean, I was thrilled.
So how often do you have to get a can of propane?
I always get a fresh bottle of propane right after I've started cooking.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a cowbell mock. Come on, man. That's a cowbell.
Yeah, because invariably, the yellow crookneck squash will be halfway fried. The green tomatoes will be halfway fried, and I'll look down under there, under the griddle surface. Oh, this son of a gun! There's no flame. Fuck.
And
I'll pop my head in the door. Honey, I got to run up and get a bottle of propane. I'm not rich enough to do the deposits on two bottles of propane, which is what I ought to have. You got to have one and a standby. But if I had a standby sitting around here, one of the local Crystal Methodists would come and help himself to it or something.
Well, that's, yes, man, there's like four topics now that you have touched on that just got me off on my tangent shit. But, yeah, the neighbor thing,
But I got to tell you, I cheated a little bit, and I poured in a jar of just garden variety Newman's Own Socceroni sauce.
Dang, no, listen, no. That's perfect shit. Listen, nobody's hating you on that. Did you read the label? I try to get.
Yeah, I did.
I have enough money. Come on, they give back money, man. Come on, that's the way to go. And plus, it's top quality shit.
And so I did up the pasta and everything, and in the fridge. We had leftover from way, way, way back when we went down to Charleston for the oysters and the clams to make the paella. I had a hunk of real live, no kidding, Parmigiano Reggiano.
Oh, you put that on top last, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And I didn't grate it either. I didn't grate it either. I used that broad face and got razor thin slices. Oh, that parm across the top.
That's what I'm talking about. See? I can see it now. Yes. Damn it. Oh, I feel full. Oh, you talk about satiated. Man, you felt good after that, didn't you?
I did, but you know when I'm going to feel better?
What?
Tomorrow.
Why?
Because once that pasta and that sauce has sat in the fridge and got good and cold... And then you mix it up. You don't put the sauce over the pasta on the plate, but you mix it up in the bowl, and you take it back out to the griddle. You get that sucker hot, and you take that cold pasta and cold sauce, and you put a little EVOO, Rachel Ray, EVOO, put a little extra virgin olive oil on there, and, you know, just make yourself a little pool, and you dump that cold spaghetti and that cold sauce on there, and you fry the spaghetti in the olive oil with the sauce. And the spaghetti kind of falls apart, but that's okay. And then you do it with the Parmesan again, and much happiness. It is so much better the second day, especially if you iron skillet fry it or iron griddle fry it.
Oh, damn. Oh, you're killing me. Oh,
now,
that sounds delicious.
If you want to get even, if you want to get even kinkier, you fry it. You put it in a baking dish. You fold in some ricotta. And you put it in the oven. Cover it up and put it in the oven. Cover it with aluminum foil. Put it in the oven. Bake that shit. Bring it out. Take the aluminum foil off of it. Cover it with finely grated mozzarella. Run that little bastard under the broiler. Have the garlic bread on standby, and people will weep. Because then, when you pull it out, you can just cut it. You can cut it with your spatula and take it out in squares.
Right, in the portions. Yep.
But you can't do that. I mean, it's got to go through that process because something happens to the glutens and the flavors of the sauce and you know. So once you gotta fry it first, and then
my stomach is growling, man. Come on, stop it. Right, everything you said.
I'm gonna tell a little secret. I'm gonna tell on myself. I'm afraid I'm gonna blow up like a balloon because I'm trying something again. I don't want to jinx myself, but I have, as Lady Macbeth said, I have screwed my courage to the sticking place, and I am, well, it's a little after 7 here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, and I haven't had a cigarette all day.
Oh, well, you know what? I didn't bring it up.
And I'm not okay.
You know what, though? Let me just say this. And I'm not trying to be an asshole about it. I'm just saying. Because, you know, I already told you my history. Now, write down the next cigarette you smoke. Write down how scale from 1 to 10. Write down how satisfying it is. The next cigarette you smoke.
Oh, no, you're going to make me cry. Because I know how satisfying it would be. it would have all the characteristics of a gourmet of sitting down to a gourmet dinner with Albert Einstein, the Buddha, and Tony Bourdain.
Okay, so that's a 10.
And the and the cigarette and the espresso after.
Oh,
and maybe a little aperitif. But that's not. I'm going to try to keep that from happening.
You know what? If you can keep up to, like, honestly, any kind of human, I don't want to get into that. But that's good news. You know what? When it clicks, it clicks. That's why you can't give up. You know, sometimes it takes people a couple weeks, a couple years, whatever. But as long as you have it in your head that that's what you want to do, that's a great start. Let me say it like that. And at some point, it's going to come to fruition. And it may sound simplistic, but this is the truth. If you cannot visualize something, you cannot do it.
Right. No, I agree completely. You know, that's the whole Zen and the Art of Archery thing. And these 3 hours are very difficult for me because this is when I smoke the most. I mean, it's like Larry King meets what's his name, Snyder, Tom Snyder, the Tomorrow Show.
Tom Snyder.
And
Yeah, these 3 hours, I got, you know, one up each nostril, one in each ear, one across every finger, and, you know, just...
Todd Snyder, yeah. Listen, Todd Snyder, and this was late, this was kind of late in the day, like when cigarette smoking was kind of, it was on the edge, you know, it was still kind of, you were able to do it, but it was kind of a, don't be doing that. Todd Snyder used to smoke a cigarette like it wasn't shit. Or in the air.
Oh, Larry King. Larry King was the same way. And it's because radio does that to you. It's a thinking aid. And in the 2 hours and 10 minutes of this program so far, I've caught myself at least 6 times. And it's like it's not even part of the...
Did you reach for the cigarette that was not there?
Yes!
That's, see, you're on the track. You're on motherfucking track. I'm telling you, you're on track. You reach, it's like, this is where I usually put the ashtray. It's just reflexive. It's not there. I'm not smoking. What happened?
And then something inside you goes, but I want one. And you go, no.
But I want one. But I'm okay for right now. And don't. Do
yeah, and
bad.
I'm treating it like a 12-step program. I don't have to quit forever. I just got to quit for the next minute. And if I got to get down to second by second, you know, whatevs.
And you know, I have revealed this before, but you see, I'm an anomaly. You know, I did shit nobody's supposed to be able to get through. But stuff. So what I'm saying is that believe in yourself. Just keep that germ. In the back of your head. Doesn't matter if you slip. Don't feel bad.
Well, I do. I don't want to slip, but I do have, for anybody who might be still having a cigarette and wants to quit, I'm not the guy to look to for advice or inspiration. But I'll tell you this. If you have any inclination toward using the patch, do not, I repeat, do not, get the Walmart brand of fucking patches. I was cruising along, having a good time, making the spaghetti sauce and everything. And I looked over at
How do we get on this?
And I looked over at my arm where the patch was. And it was peeling up, and it looked like something out of some sort of fucking science fiction movie. It just like it had a will of its own. It's just like, ah, you know, the peeling and curling back, and I slapped the little bastard back down. And a minute later, and the other side starts doing it.
Spread enough on adhesive.
And slapped it again. I didn't get a chance to slap it the third time because a gentle breeze blew and just blew it the fuck off my arm.
Oh, what is that, like $5 at the window? What does that mean?
I tried put a second one on. It sank into the swamp. I put a third one on. It burned down, fell over, and then sank into the swamp. But there was no happy ending because none of them stuck.
Okay.
And then bless his heart. Ferg. Been talking a lot about Ferg lately.
Oh.
Ferg reaches into his pants pocket and hauls out his dip.
Mm.
You know, snuff.
I know what dip is.
I said, no, I don't need to add throwing up to the rest of this. He goes, no, and then the light went on. I went, wait. He goes, you've got nicotine pouches, don't you? I said, yes, I do.
Now this isn't residue on the inside.
No, this isn't.
Vaseline.
No, this isn't like the snus or snuff or anything. This is literally nicotine that has been extracted, and it's in a little pouch, and you tuck it up in your up between your upper lip and your gum.
Oh, the Kodiak?
No, it's called Velo, and there's another one called Zyn, Z-Y-N, and there's a citrus and a mint and a cinnamon, and it's like 2 milligrams, 4 milligrams, 6 milligrams, and they will satisfy the urge. They'll satisfy the craving. But they're kind of gross and sickening, the same way that the nicotine gum is.
Let me ask you a personal question.
Sure.
And of course, you don't have to respond. Now, are you the type of a smoker, you got to have a cigarette as soon as you wake up?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well,
and the cigarettes that go with the morning coffee,
right.
and the post meal cigarette,
right?
And the I just got in the car cigarette,
right? See,
and the okay. I'm doing 3 hours of radio cigarettes,
right? Well, this is why the diary comes in handy, because then when you quantify. You know, which cigarettes are most satisfying to you at what time? You know, like some people have to have, they just are not right. Like, I could do without the first thing in the morning cigarette, but when I'm waiting on the subway, I need my fucking cigarette. When, after a big meal, my dinner meal, I need a cigarette. So when I got down the street,
you know what it reminded me, you know what I've been thinking about all day long is the 10 hours or so that I was without a cigarette leaving Atlanta and landing in Paris. Man, I cleared customs.
You went through your whole fucking tribulations, I bet. I bet you went through.
Oh, yeah, I was on a plane with a bunch of drunk redneck, seemed to be Texans, because they's all wearing hats and boots, who were, you know, from Atlanta to Paris, and they were literally pinching the butts of the
I hate that shit.
Oh, it was embarrassing.
That's that old white male privilege.
Yeah, bring me some more of that vino, honey.
And you don't tear.
And it was Air France. It was Air France.
What the fuck?
Miss you.
That makes us look like assholes.
Right. Well, it was, you know, BBC. But they're back there and they're looking at each other going, filthy American pigs. Cochon.
That ain't no way to pull no tail, honest to God. I mean, if you're serious about it, that's some dumbass shit. But anyway,
So that was 10, 11 hours, and I went sprinting. And I think I just tore the cardboard off of an entire pack of Camel Wide Blues, stuck the whole thing in my mouth, and just lit it at once.
Man. Mm. Oh, the Camel. That's what got me started, man, was the shorty, unfiltered Camel.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That got me, man. That, and then, you know, if I couldn't have that, then I had the Marlboro Red. Then I moved up to the drum, rolling my own. And that was it. I was just sucked in.
You know, for a lot of years, I was a Winston Lights kind of guy. Never been a full flavor guy.
Okay. Well, look, you can do this. I mean, everything is that, you know what? Awareness, you're at the first, you'll be able to do it because you're aware. You got to be aware.
Yeah, it's all doomed. The sleeper is awakened. Right. Oh, and apparently it's not just me. No. Jack in Shreveport just wrote in. Subject line, off-brand patches. I found out not to use store-brand Breathe Right strips that open up your nostrils. Again, the adhesive and structural design just doesn't stick. It peels off just like your nicotine patch. That must be where they cheap the process.
I've never figured out how that will work, because most people, even if you don't have oily skin, your nose, that's where oil is. That's where sebum comes out, right? And, you know, how's that going to work?
Well, the other thing is the instructions, Todd, say, apply the patch to a clean, dry, hairless spot on your body. I'm a human being.
Well,
I'm a human being.
Got hair, right?
Even if it's a, you know, and it's not like I got, like, you know, dense, curly, black back hair or anything. I just, there went dinner in the mountain time zone.
You don't have the hairy knuckles like the Attorney General?
No. But, you know, I looked at, you know, I looked at where I was putting it on. I was like, oh, I mean, my God, I mean, there's a little bit of Downey there. I mean, well, I understand Randy and Randy Radar from PA just said, I got a problem with food. I downed 2 medium pizzas at lunch today. I've done it, Randy. I've done it. We've all been there.
Oh, shit, that sounds good right now.
Yeah, doesn't it? You know, tomorrow's 2 for Tuesday. Tomorrow's 2 for Tuesday at Geno's, and if you eat Geno's pizza in West Virginia, when it's still roughly the same temperature as the oven it came out of, and of course you'll blister the hell out of your mouth with the molten lava cheese, but you got about 3 minutes to eat it in. After that, it just sucks. But man, when it's really, really hot, it's really, really good. Oh, and by the way, Jeremy in Vermont awarded me a cowbell. For fuck's sake, Bob, one of the local Crystal Methodists will steal my tank. That's a long cowbell, Bob. That was funny.
That is a good moniker. Are you a Crystal Methodist? And it was a who? And be like, oh, okay. Man, I don't wish that on anybody. Never mind. I'm just saying, don't do it. That's all I can say. Like old people used to say about pot, yeah, whatever. But that, just don't do it.
But it's more Ann Monday. It's more Ann Monday. We got stuff we got to get through here, Todd. So I got to share this one with you.
I got to share this one with you.
We've been talking about South Dakota for a while now, being how they're doing. You know, they had Sturgis and they were doing everything in their power to get the better part of the Midwest good and plagued up from their little motorcycle.
The mask ain't no good for you. I mean that crap.
You know their motorcycle rally.
Yeah.
And you got Christy Nome out there who said, we didn't spread plague to 250,000 people. That study wasn't even peer reviewed. Well, enter the Attorney General of South Dakota. His name is Jason Ravensburg. And, of course, he's a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican. So, Saturday night, he called the local police and said, "Hey, y'all." Wrong accent, I know. "Hey, y'all. Hey, you guys. I just wanted you to know that I hit a deer, and I'm just calling it in. It's Saturday night, and, you know, sometimes that kind of things happens where you hit a deer on Saturday night." It was a rural stretch of U.S. Highway 14, and he immediately called 911. I hit a deer, fellas. Could you come out and maybe get it, make sure it's not in the road or anything? I'd sure appreciate that.
His car is total, most likely, unless he just clipped it, because that a deer will...
Well, no, it gets better. So, it was the Hyde County Sheriff's Office that he called. And so they sent a roller out to look for the deer that the Attorney General had hit. I mean, he's a fine fella, our Attorney General. And, turns out the deer's name was 55-year-old Joseph Bover. And they didn't find 55-year-old Joseph Bover till Sunday morning, and 55-year-old Joseph Bover will not be turning 56. Because apparently deer-shaped Joseph Bover, the good Republican Attorney General runned him over real good and made him real dead. He was having a bad night.
What?
He was having a bad night, deer-shaped 55-year-old Joseph Bover. He'd crashed his truck earlier and was walking along the road heading for either the truck or to get help or some such when he decided to do his deer dance in the road, which then caused the attorney, the Republican Attorney General of South Dakota, to run him down. That's 55-year-old deer-shaped Joseph Bover. "Oh, it's the damnedest thing I ever saw," said the Attorney General. "It's not every day you see a deer standing on two legs that's not in one of those funny Gary Larson cartoons like there used to be all the time."
A deer.
And but Sunday morning he got around to issuing a statement, the Attorney General did. He said, "I'm shocked and filled with sorrow. And I was not drinking before when I hit the deer-shaped man."
The deer-shaped man!
It's Moran Monday, Todd. He was on a 110-mile drive home from a Republican fundraiser in Redfield, South Dakota.
Who the fuck is going to drive 110 miles to go to see some bullshit?
Well, no, it's a fundraiser, and he's a Republican, and he needs to raise funds. And you know how it is at Republican fundraisers. I mean, they've got hot dish and like, green bean casserole, and I'm sure there was not a drop of alcohol anywhere to be found. Meanwhile, investigators spent 22 hours trying to figure out who deer-shaped Mr. Bover was. He'd screwed up and South Dakota. He'd screwed up and crashed his truck into a hay bale. Now, I take it that when we say a hay bale in South Dakota, we're not talking about some little rectangular piece. No, we're talking about one of those great goddamn big humongous rolls that you have to use, that you have to move with a pig pole on the front end of a tractor.
It's like a small house.
He was reaching for, see, the goddess of irony doesn't miss a lick. He was reaching for some tobacco when he crashed into the hay bale, he said, he told his cousin. And his cousin came out, gave him a ride home, and they were going to fix the truck on Sunday. And he said his cousin wasn't drinking. But he started walking back. You know, maybe he forgot his tobacco, or maybe he just wanted to pick up his dress antlers. No, I'm sorry. This is a tragic story. A long time ago, there was a famous book called "The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat." It was a psychological memoir. I'm just trying to figure out how you mistake a human being for a deer. I mean,
he started off wrong. Number one, he started off being a Republican, and that was the beginning of the end there. If he had any fucking sense. And then, I mean, what do you expect? No, I'm sorry.
No, and the cousin's pissed. He said, "I don't know if Cousin Joe was laying on the highway for 22 hours or if they bagged him up before that."
Damn.
Ravensborg had been at a fundraising dinner hosted by the Spink County Republicans at Rooster's Bar and Grill. The Attorney General is known to be a frequent attendee of the fundraisers known as Lincoln Day dinners, held by county GOP groups across the state. The Attorney General drinks occasionally, but has made it a practice not to drink at the Lincoln Day events. Apparently, he didn't practice so. But that's why there's all that damn delay in there. Got to give the Attorney General time to sober up and pray a little.
Stop. I'm going to tell you something, man. 110 miles? If I'm driving 110 miles, man, I don't understand. You know, pre-plan. Get a room.
Ron in Raleigh says, I told you before, Bob, you can't wear your deer antler hat at night in South Dakota.
Ron,
you know, I mean, it's a sad story, but yeah, what a pathetic lie on the part of this good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, maggot, Republican. Because remember, he's the attorney general, so he would have been the one who was probably issuing opinions saying, no, it's all right, let's go ahead and have 500,000 people rub and lart and small can be and lollygag and grabulate and be all butthole to belly button all over Sturgis, South Dakota and in the middle of a pandemic and nobody wearing a mask and nobody washing their hands and everybody getting tattoos and shit. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Because freedom.
Excuse me, Bob Kincaid, could you please refresh everyone's memory of exactly what the duties, responsibilities, and expectations are of any attorney general, regardless of their capacity, state, local, or federal? Could you please do that?
Well, your attorney general is your chief law enforcement officer of the state, and he is charged with enforcing the laws of said state. Well, most of and almost I'm certain in saying that every state probably no every state has a law against driving under the influence of alcohol.
Okay, so that being said,
I hate to say it, but I've hit a deer. Actually, it's not so much I hit a deer as the deer committed suicide into me.
Who hasn't?
Because I was driving what was back then not the rusty red pickup truck, and the deer came bounding up the hill. I had already passed, you know, I was already past his front, and I guess he thought he was going to leap over the rusty red pickup truck, but he didn't time his jump real good, and he just leapt into the side of the truck, and then sort of gravity pulled him along the side of the truck, flapping and flopping, and coming apart, and then, you know, it was shocking.
Okay.
It was surprising. But I was never under the impression that it was anything but a deer. And what's important is, even though it was doing that deer thing where it leaps, I was also not under the impression that it was bi-fucking-pedal.
Yeah, exactly. So when I'm questioning it seems like I had this meme a lot, but I don't know. I'm questioning the intelligence of this law enforcement officer, who's the attorney general. Like, okay, because this is like we're going into 2020. You know, people take blood and hair samples from the hood of your car if you hit something. Obviously, it was in the front or the side. There's going to be some blood and hair samples. It will not be human.
Well, and the other thing is, when the deer was committing suicide into my truck, it did not scream a human language.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, I mean.
All right. Wow.
Randy Radar saying the deer must have had a bad session with his deer therapist. Yeah. The area where the accident took place has now been renamed by James in Illinois as Chappaquiddick, South Dakota. Sorry, but that was just too good. But it's... So what you do is... hey, Fred. Yeah, I'm up here on US 14. Yeah, it's your attorney general. I hit a deer. You might want to get somebody out here. I hit a deer. I definitely hit a deer. Yeah. No, I'm not going to stop and take the antlers or anything. You can have them. Okay, great. You call me in the morning, okay?
Because I hit a deer.
Right. And so the alibi is thereby established.
Because I hit a deer. Person? What person? I hit a deer. See?
Yeah. Yeah, Steve in New York says, questioning the intelligence of a maggot? What? Are you questioning whether he's intelligent or intelligent he is not? Oh, come on, Todd. Steve in New York. Jeremy in Vermont, who's probably been, who's seen no few deer in his own life. Subject line, deer. If this had been an actual real-life male deer, would it have been a... Oh, fuck.
Whoa.
John Doe.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, that was a long cowbell for John.
There's a lot. That wrecked, the account needed that injection. Oh boy.
Yep. John Doe.
So, all right. I shift.
Oh, but you know, we're East Coast people, so we got a little clarification coming from Irwin, who of course is a Dakota's native. And now lives in Montanistan. And he says, 100 miles to dinner is not unusual in South Dakota. I'm not making excuses for a probable drunk. Yeah, it's not the 110 miles too that's the problem. It's the 110 miles back with one eye closed trying to guess at which eye actually knows where the line on the road in the middle of the road is.
Man. America is spread out.
No. And by the way, Greg, with a note, says, if the 55-year-old deer-shaped Joseph Bover was an American Indian, the cops in South Dakota would probably charge him with destruction of property for the damage to the AG's car.
Yeah.
What
gets him the right to impede law enforcement? The chief, he's doing things. You know?
It's important to the moral fiber of South Dakota that the Republican Attorney General, who doesn't give a damn about a plague, remains in office. We're back to the issue of patches and adhesives again, Todd. Dave writes, I used Rite Aid generic patches to quit January 2001 so I wouldn't have to share the second floor balcony at NBC4 with Fred Rogan every 2 hours. Whoa. They stuck way better than the national brand. Great Technicolor dreams were an added bonus. Oh, groovy. I need, dreams. Oh, dear. Then I don't need those.
Oh, the dreams. Yeah. Let me tell you. Now, I'm in the throes when I was on the cusp of being, like, either I was going to make it through or not, I would have dreams. Like, I'm in the, you know, at happy hour after work, and we're talking and drinking, and I'm smoking, and I wake up, and I would be satiated. It was like, man, I was up drinking and smoking on it. I mean, you will have. I'm telling you, a lot of people have reported this.
Oh no, I'm a Technicolor vivid dreamer anyway, lucid dreamer. That's what makes trying to go. Yeah. So we're just gonna try and crank it up to 11. But what I hate is, and usually I have to have succeeded for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you get the dreams where in your dream you know you've been quit for a long, 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 long time, and then you light the cigarette in your dream, and in your dream you say to yourself, what am I doing? And you hate yourself in your dream, and then you wake up sweating, and you're like, I'm still a non-smoker.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you like wake up after you light it and you feel it hit your lungs? Do you wake up, or, I mean, that's some fucked up shit.
Yeah, and you wake up and you're like, cool. It was only a dream.
And then you metal a couple rocks and everything's okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you just get out your crystal your crystal Methodist pipe and everything's good. Good.
Well, there were two things I wanted to ask you. So. I have been in my Ebonics class today, and then, you know, usually we get hungry.
Wait.
Okay.
No, we done been to the Ebonics class in the afternoon, and then we go to Bojangles and we get 6 chicken breasts.
And, oh, no, fuck, no, you don't. Yeah, no, don't you? No, I know you go to Popeye's. I mean, Bojangles wouldn't even hold on to the sponsorship there for the race in Darlington. Goddamn, what are they thinking? But I think No Jangles is having some problems because, you know, they opened a shit ton of No Jangles all over West Virginia. Ain't a one of them open anymore. They all shut down.
Damn.
And so I don't know what happened to Outset, but, you know, they didn't have no spicy chicken. Oh, hell no.
Has that dirty rice, man.
Oh, the red beans and rice? Yeah, hell yeah. And whatever the hell that toxic, that beautiful toxic brown gravy is. Shit, I just want to, I looked at it and I said, yeah, I just want that. I just want some of that in an iced teacup with a straw. But the one thing they had that I loved so much, their hash rounds, you know, the little potato fritter thingies.
Yeah.
But they had some onion chopped into them too. And I would get those things and some sour cream and some applesauce, and it was right next to the best. It wasn't anywhere near as good, but in a place like this where you ain't gonna get no good good old fashioned Jewish deli potato latkes. They got you. They got you close enough.
Oh, you know when you can get some good food, you got to go where it is. You have to just go, like the line of food here. They finally, I don't know what happened, but we have real bagels now. And you know, I'm big. Like I make, you know, I joke about Jews and stuff because I grew up with Jews, and I know from a bagel. All right, you can't fool me.
I know you know from a bagel because you said. I know you know from a bagel because you said I know from a bagel.
I mean, look, there is bread out there. It's shaped like a bagel, but it's fucking bread. It's not a bagel.
Oh, no, wait. Hold on. I got to tell you something. I saw a video the other day. You want to talk about something decadent? there was just a sheet of pastry dough and laid out flat and rectangular and a banana. And in the video, they took a knife and cut the banana into, you know, round sections.
Mm-hmm.
No, first they poured chocolate syrup all over it, or hot fudge. And then they cut the banana into sections. Yeah. Then they started rolling the dough over it until they got to, like, about... Maybe it was. But they got to about 2 inches from the end, and then they stopped, and they cut strips into the dough. They didn't cut it off. They just cut strips into
you mean
it.
Like vents?
Not like vents. They were going to keep rolling the dough, but where they were going to roll the dough to, they cut it into stripes. They rolled it over, and then they took each individual flap and rolled it on over, worked it together, and then bent it around and stuck the dough together in a circle.
Hmm.
And put it on baking parchment. Brushed it with some egg wash, and
that sounds kind of good.
And baked it, and shook on a bunch of confectioner's sugar when it was done. It's like a croissant donut with hot fudge banana inside.
That sounds South American. That sounds something like a thing you do with a plantain.
Hoo-wee! I showed that to Agnes. She's like, "Oh no, we're going to do that."
Yeah, that's doable. That sounds beautiful.
Good and if God. You were to use some phyllo dough or some or you know just puff pastry dough.
Well, that's what it sounds like, you know.
And it was pretty when it came out of the oven. But I looked at Agnes and I said, "Can you imagine?" Can you imagine not telling our grandchildren what those were and just handing one to them?
Ooh. And then don't tell them. They're like, what is this? No.
Well, you're going to figure that part out for yourself.
Kids are funny. So Wow. All right. So I have a hard question for you.
Oh, no.
Now, I don't know if you saw Morning Joe this morning.
I did not.
Okay.
We worked off the midnight shift last night, so I slept in.
That sounds good. Well, the quaint historian Meacham brought up something that we had been talking about. But, you know, of course, he has a platform. But, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's all the same sentiment. We should all be wondering, this has nothing to do with food, why in the world, is this particular election even close?
I know. Well, there's a relatively simple answer to that, Todd. And the relatively simple answer to that is this election is as close as it is because there's a lot of intensely stupid people in America. Or at least morally compromised. Because let's say you're a relatively intelligent individual. It turns out I've got kin folks, or I've got kin who is some sort of wealth management guy and does and has decided that it's not enough and he's moved into doing right-wing maggot radio. No kidding.
I was about to say, now.
Not a joke. Not a joke. Not a joke.
Good God. That's a lot right
but,
there.
But, you know, he's hardcore maggot. And the guy's college educated, you know, knows how to manipulate stocks and funds and bonds and all that silly capitalist shit. And the thing is, if you are an intelligent person and you support Trump, and in fact, one of my oldest and nearest dearest friends, you know, we have a hard time talking to each other anymore because he's a serious maggot, and he's a brilliant lawyer. And not only that, he's a criminal defense lawyer.
Oh God, it's crazy.
He thinks the cops are a bunch of sons of bitches. And the Constitution's being shredded, and I can't figure out how he's a maggot, a Republican, let alone a maggot, but he is.
Now all that is incongruent.
But the thing is, if you are still if you look at Trump and say, well, you know, he's gonna look at the stock market, I'm making a killing, so I want to keep him. Well, you're making a value judgment there. And your value judgment tells us more about you than it does about Donald Trump or the economy or the price of Zimgar on Norblap 9. It tells us that morals and ethics mean absolutely nothing to you. It tells us that the suffering of others doesn't make a fat fucking damn. It tells us that you're willing to overlook horrific abuses, gigantic, downright criminal personality flaws and pathologies, as long as you get yours. Also translated as igum foo. I got mine. Fuck you. Okay? It tells us all those things. And so that's how that happens. That's how that goes down.
Okay. I was wondering, and you have just expressed, okay, so... And you know, honestly, looking at Donald Trump's history, because this is the other thing. Well, I already mentioned it earlier. I say to my Southerner, you know, especially white associates, friends, whatnot, well, what did you know about Donald Trump? Because you know, and like I said, if I'm being snarky, I say, well, all those years you lived in New York, you know, what did you find out? And I never lived there. Right, exactly. You never lived there. So what did you know about him? Well, I like what he says. I like how he thinks. Okay.
He says what's on his mind. He tells it like it is.
Tells it like it is. That's how I would deal with it. He said we're going to do it. Now, if that is true, then, okay, I'm using your logic, your premise. This motherfucker has told the snake story in public in excess. I'm going to be conservative. In excess is two times. I think it's more than two. And the snake story boiled down, all black people, church people know what the snake story is. The snake is in the water, stream, whatever, river, and a frog or another small animal is trying to get across, and the snake says, I'll take you across, don't worry about it. And the little animal says, well, I don't know, you're a snake, you'll probably eat me. He says, no, I won't eat you. And he gets on the snake's back, and the snake takes him across the stream, gets him to the other side. And you know, everything's fine. And he gets his friend, takes him across, but he eats him. And he says, why did you eat my friend? He said, well, I told you I was a snake.
Yeah.
He told us who he, see, this motherfucker is sick.
Yeah, there's a variation on that that's a, there's the variation on that that's the frog and the scorpion.
The
scorpion says to the frog, I got to get across the creek. Will you let me ride on your back? And the frog says, no. You're scorpion? You're going to sting me? You're going to kill me? He goes, no, I won't. I really got to get across. Oh, all right. So the scorpion gets up on the back of the frog. Frog starts swimming across the creek. Halfway across, scorpion stings the frog. The frog says, why'd you sting me? Now we're both going to drown. Scorpion looks at the frog and says, you knew what I was when you let me on.
And that's what I do.
As if the decency of the frog was actually the fault of a frog. It purposes to excuse the rotten conduct of the scorpion.
See? Oh, this is beautiful. Exactly. You're right. You're dovetailing into this perfectly. Right. So now we're dealing with the core element of what we see. You see, the philosophy of this regime is like, if you don't, you know this is all a game, and if you don't lie, cheat, and steal, then you're a sucker. That's the way this shit is set up. You're supposed to lie, cheat, and steal till you get caught. And that's the game. And if you don't play the game, then you're stupid. That's how they see this shit. So you know what? We got to burn them. Fuck them. And I almost forgot. See, this is the second thing I wanted to bring up. I know you got some great stories, but we only have a couple minutes. But you see, I would hope that the DNC, all the powers that be in the Democratic Party, right now, maybe yesterday, maybe 5 weeks ago, start implementing Plan B. Plan B is if and when Trump wins again, we have a colossal amount of evidence to impeach him and get him the fuck out. That's the main thing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If we keep the House, we can impeach him again if he wins, and there's plenty to do it with. But we're not going to get 67 members of the Senate.
We don't know that now. That's what I'm saying. This shit is so egregious. When we bring all this shit to light again, look at all this evidence. You see, and I'm blaming the for-profit media, the Senate Intelligence Committee report, the bipartisan report. I mean, you still have MAGA saying all that Russia hoax. No. No hoax. Read the report. And this Durham bullshit is unraveling like it has, you know, like it should have.
Well, I haven't even... I've come up with... I'm coming up with 10 Republican senators. If there was a miracle, you know, that would get us close. But I haven't crossed the Mississippi yet. So I mean, we there could be a miracle, and it would be fantastic if there was. You know, noted Republican moderate Susan Collins.
Oh please.
Got.
She ain't no moderate.
No, but she got called out this weekend because she had a debate with her opponent. Sarah Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked her if she was going to vote for Trump, and she wouldn't answer. She said, I've been meeting with people all over Maine, and the last thing they want to do is get my advice on whether to vote for Donald Trump. Total wimp out. But she know, but she's in trouble, and she knows how much trouble she's in, and she knows how toxic Trump is. And with any luck at all, she'll be one of the ones that goes away. But, okay, so... Susan Collins. Who else? Thom Tillis. Precious Lindsay. Two senators in Georgia. That's five. One in Tennessee, one in Kentucky, seven. I think they're both up in Mississippi. That's nine. It's nine east of the Mississippi. Then you got, John Cornholio, 10. Martha McSally, 11. Cory Gardner, 12. I think the guy in Wyoming, 13. Montana, 14. You'd have to knock off one in Idaho, 15. And you're still not to 67, Todd.
No. We're not, which is exactly why I did not want Kamala Harris to be on that ticket.
Well, I'm not worried about California. I'm not worried about California. I think that.
Well, Porter. The chance of
getting Katie Porter just makes me smile. A couple of things on the way out. David sent this along a banner from a Fox News story. Some idiot there who puts up the fonts. Hurricane Sally. L.A. and M.I. Coast prepare for Hurricane Sally. That's right. Louisiana and Michigan, according to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, are bracing to be slammed by Hurricane Sally. And then this. Sarah Sanders has a new book out, Todd. Speaking for myself, Faith, Freedom, and the Fight of Our Lives Inside the Trump White House by Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. And she dishes on the people that she worked with there. You know, she was just an innocent little girl from an Arkansas Bible college.
Right.
When she took the job there in the Whiteness House. And that's where she met Josh Raffel, R-A-F-F-E-L. And he was a member of the communications team there in the White House. And she took to writing about him, and she was trying to explain how people who is different can still become friends. And so she described, and Josh Raffel was one of them people she didn't think she's going to become friends with, but she got to be friends with him after all. And she explained that when she first met him, he was a liberal, aggressive, foul-mouthed Jew from New York City. Wait a minute, I read that wrong. Brother Deacon Ace is going to give me shit. A liberal, aggressive, foul-mouthed Jew from New York City. Despite being pretty much his total opposite, she says, I grew to love him. He left the White House in 2018 and returned to his work as a senior vice president of Hiltzik Strategies and head of marketing and communications at Blumhouse Productions. And I grew to love him. I grew to love that liberal, aggressive, foul-mouthed Jew from New York City.
Oh, my God. That woman doesn't have enough sense just to shut the fuck up after all the lies. Just egregious, disgusting lies.
Jew? They kill Christ. That's what they taught us there at my little Arkansas Baptist Bible College. They kill Christ.
I bet you got a good Jew lawyer. This shit is ridiculous, man. What in the hell?
Ain't no bottom, Todd. There ain't no bottom. There ain't no bottom.
I wish you the best with your support, your family support. I guess you know what I mean.
Well, thank you. And speaking of support, I have thanks to send out to Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Scott. Big thanks, Scott. And to Kat in Ohio. Thank you so much, Kat. We met the fundraising goal this evening.
Beautiful.
Which takes a load of pressure off, and all we got to do is deal with tomorrow. And that's awesome. Thank you guys. Thank you so much. These little miracles that keep the program going. Thank you so very much indeed.
It's your personality.
Is it really? I thought it was the food porn.
Food porn, and I know you got to go, but because last time we talked, you were telling me about the Indian bread that you eat up and it can
paratha. Yes. I did a thing. I did some paratha. I was thinking about you. I did some paratha on the Blackstone. Got it all nice and puffy and crispy on the outside, and I had some cream cheese set out for room temperature. I smeared cream cheese across it, and then on top of the cream cheese, I had some of Patak's hot mango chutney, and I smeared that across the cream cheese, and then I rolled it all up, and just a little bite at a time, and you want to talk about some kind of good.
That's what keeps us going, good food. We have to focus on the good things in life.
And by the way, just got a note from Shorty in L.A. I said I would not eat you, not your friend. Here's the deal with the super spreader Trump. So he goes to Vegas or somewhere in Nevada with all this splitting, spilling saliva, and then Trump comes to California just to see the governor of California. Sounds like a super spreader move to me. If Gavin Newsom gets sick, I blame Trump. Bioterrorism, baby. Bioterrorism. Oh, and by the way, did you, we had a discussion, I think it was Friday on the front porch, went back and forth, and I said, no, I think it's just, God is firing at work. No, somebody really is punking the maggots inside the Trump campaign. Because when you consider that they have played knocking on heaven, in the middle of a pandemic, mind you, knocking on heaven's door, live and let die, then this weekend, Fortunate Son.
Yeah, Fogarty was like, what?
And then at the super spreader event that he told lies about there in Nevada.
They wouldn't let us have a party at Reno or Las Vegas because commie pinko fascist Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe,
etc. They had their rally in Minden, Nevada. and there was video of the maggots rushing the stage as Macho Man by the Village People played. Oh, and by the way, 100,000 people apparently tuned in for the script reading of The Princess Bride, the benefit for the Wisconsin Democratic Party. And yeah. Ralph's just sent me a note. Breaking, the GOP and Green Party shenanigans fail. The Greens are off the Wisconsin ballot. Ralph says, yay! And I agree, Ralph's. Yay!
But yeah, but you know what? I mean, damn, in other words, the power of the be over in Wisconsin, or up in Wisconsin, they have shown their hand. They showed they're some fucking derelict, evil motherfuckers.
Yep.
We got a lot of work to do, my friend.
And, well, what did Jerry Reed sing? Got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and down. Just watch old Bandit run. Yep. Todd, you have yourself a good evening.
Thanks, man. Talk to you.
All right, later. My buddy Todd calling from South Carolina stand. So again, thanks to Jeremy, and thanks to Todd, and thanks to Scott in Wisconsin, and thank you to Kat in Ohio. We met our goal this evening. That's so important and so inspiring. Thank you immensely. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And hey, I made it through over 3 smoke-free hours, and I'm moving up on the end of a first day of being a non-smoker, and I hope it stays that way. Thanks for the encouragement. Well, you know how it goes. Stay home if you can. There are many more ends out there. If you can't stay home, you got to be out. Well, you got to wear your mask. You got to wash your hands. You got to wear your gloves if you got them. You got to keep your hand sanitizer with you at all times. Don't touch your face. Maintain your social distance. Not just 6 feet, make it 10. The more, the better. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes grunting and barking at you, hollering, let them play! Avoid them like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.